Beautiful. While you're finding 2 Chronicles 34, I'll let you find that passage. Okay, 2 Chronicles, Old Testament Chronicles, chapter 34, familiar passage. Announced this morning that Elizabeth got engaged 2 weekends ago, and her fiancé, Rick, is here tonight. So, Rick, if you and Elizabeth would please stand, we want to say congratulations to this couple. They got an August 20th wedding right here at our church. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. So, good hand for this couple tonight. Congratulations. That is wonderful. Amen. Super. Very good. Thank you for being here tonight, Rick, and congratulations to you. And we believe you're getting a good young lady. Amen. There's no doubt about it. Very good. Let's stand together, please. We're looking at verses 1 and 2. In fact, we're looking at verse 2, 1, 2, and 3, but we'll only read 1 and 2. I had a message on the Christian home, and it's all ready to go. But I told you this morning that it was a little bit different direction God was impressing upon my heart. So we'll go this way tonight. This is not unfamiliar territory for us. We've been in these verses, this passage before. But I want to take it a certain direction tonight in the message that I believe God would have us go. Look at verse 1, if you'd please join me on verse 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the blessing of being in the service tonight. And Lord, we've shared some heavy prayer requests, and Lord, our hearts are heavy for some of our friends, our loved ones who are going through a difficult time. We've rejoiced tonight, Lord, with others having received good news as Brother Tom got the job and Elizabeth's engagement here to Rick. And Lord, just the good things that have happened. And so it's been good. It's been like life, the reaping and the rejoicing. It's here tonight. So, God, we've had a great time. But now we come to your word, and we want liberty, please, and help and blessing, and we'll sure thank you for it, God. Bless the song singer and the message to follow, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. I asked preacher if I could just say something. Last week was such a blessing. Missions Conference is always a good time. And I wanted to come up here because I didn't really get the opportunity much while I was growing up, but I just wanted to, I never had the chance to, as a full body of the church, to say thank you for supporting my family and for the 15 plus years that we had in Argentina. And obviously now it's a lot realer than it was before, that it's not just the people that go, but it's also the people that fill up these faith promise missions commitments that make it all possible. So thank you, and God bless you to everybody who helps support our family and support all of our missionaries. So thank you.
What I cannot read.
Appreciate that. I just, sometimes I'm amazed at the Lord's leading in the songs before the message. And I was have a message all penned right here in the book on another subject on the matter of the Christian home, and it is an important one, and we will go there more than likely next Sunday morning. But I appreciate the song, and it fits right in tonight with what I want to say from 2 Chronicles 34, to wrap up maybe. I thought I was wrapping it up this morning, but God began to impress upon my heart a few more thoughts about this year's missions conference. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, developing a decision into a direction. Developing a decision into a direction, all right? Let's ask God's blessing on the message. Father, thank you for the good song. Thank you for the wonderful years you gave to the Harrison family in Buenos Aires and the good church that's still there today. I pray that you'll bless Brother Keith with good health and strengthen him and Lord in their endeavor to continue to build that church in Aurora, and bless his family. And thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being involved in missions. And Lord, again, I rejoice in this meeting that we just finished a few days ago, and still, Lord, just drinking from the cup that was fulfilled during those days. And help me tonight in these thoughts, and may I be a blessing. And I'll pray that you'll please take it to the heart that needs it most. I ask it in Christ's name. And amen. We had a great conference. Mark Sigstad brought some great messages. And as I said this morning, there really wasn't any message during the conference that was about money. It was all about us. It was all about our hearts, our lives, our will, giving ourselves to God, which is fine. That's great, whatever God leads these folks to preach on, and I think it's pertinent because if God gets us, obviously He gets our pocketbooks and our wallets, and there's no trouble with the money coming in. And we had some tremendous morning sessions here at 11 o'clock. Absolutely fantastic mornings and good crowds. I mean, very good crowds. And I appreciate those of you that participated and came on the missionaries. And Brother Sixtad were blessed by the number of adults that were here in the morning. I think a lot of times morning services are just the school kids. But we had just a good turnout, and I rejoice in that. And there were many good decisions that were made during the missions conference. Several young people coming forward, and not just kids, older young people, surrendering their lives to do God's will, asking God to put a desire in their heart to serve Him. Some surrendered to whatever God would have for their life. They just gave themselves for the Lord's use. A whole stack of them back there. Several adults filled out some cards about different things in their lives. I'm thrilled that many would come forward. I'm thrilled, young people, that you were listening. I'm thrilled that you were tender enough to respond. It is an unnatural thing for a child of God not to respond to the Lord's call or the Lord's impression on the heart. It's unnatural. When you read the Bible, people responded to the impressions of the Holy Ghost and the impressions of Christ and impressions of God. I think about little Samuel laying there in the temple at night, and the Lord began to speak to him, and he ran down the hallway to Eli and said, "You called me." And he did that three times before Eli realized what was happening. And he said, "Next time you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And that's what Samuel did, and God began to speak. I think it's natural for a child who loves the Lord, and natural for young people, and even adults who love the Lord. I think it's a natural thing to respond to the Lord's call or impression. And several good decisions were made. So what happens now? What happens now after you go forward in a missions conference or some service and you say, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender myself to you. I'm at your disposal. Or God, I believe you're calling me to be a missionary and leading me for that. And you know, Brother Sigstad and several of the other missionaries, a couple of others that were here, obviously, you know, they don't think you need that necessarily have a call. God says, go to the mission field. And Brother Sigstad said he never had that, just decided that that's what he would do. And you heard the story how he ended up in Nigeria. Where is there a country in Africa where there's no missionary? Well, there's not one in Nigeria. Okay, that's where I'll go. Doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's worked out pretty good for 27 years. And so, you know, Jim Vineyard always said he volunteered. John Rice, read John Rice's books. He never was called to the ministry. He said, I just started serving the Lord and I haven't quit. And so, you know, it's everybody for their own. I had a call to the ministry. I can't dispute that. And it's very precious to me. But what do you do now? What do you do after you've presented yourself? What do you do after you go forward? You make some kind of a decision at a church service, at a missions conference, or any time during the year. Well, I want to take tonight this man, Josiah, and I want to let Josiah be your guide. This is not new territory for us, but it'll be new territory based on that theme, developing a decision into a direction. Now, it's not apples to apples in that Josiah didn't make a decision to become a king. He was just in the kingly line that was passed down to him, and at 8 years of age, he sat on the throne of Israel as its king. That's unbelievable to me, but that happened. So we got an 8-year-old boy here tonight. We've done this before. 8-year-old boy. Is there an 8-year-old boy? Derek Donahoe is 8 years of age. King Derek, all right? And I picked him up on Fridays, bringing Cherith into school. And I think Derek, he does, at least he likes to act like king. Amen. He gets in the car and he starts talking. That's good. And those girls, you know, they come. But King Derek, 8 years of age, sitting on the throne as king. 8. And yet, that's what exactly happened here. Now, again, he didn't make the decision to become the king, but after he got there, he started to develop a direction for being the king. And I want to let Josiah be your guide tonight, a pattern for what to do, how to develop a decision into a direction. Are you interested? Do you have a heart for following through on your decision? If you don't, then you just made some kind of emotional response. If it's already lost its burning in your heart, that's a shame. Okay, so if you're still serious about it, how do you develop a decision into a direction for your life? All right, well, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible said Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Look at verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. So at age 8, and we had some young people come forward in elementary school. I'm talking about age 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. If you're in that age group tonight, and you have made in the past or you have made recently a decision about giving your life to God, Lord, I'm at your disposal. I've surrendered to what you want. All right, how do you develop a decision into a direction? Well, I want you to notice here. At this age right here, Josiah did right. He did right. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David, his great, I don't know how many greats it would be to get back to David, but he walked in the ways of David, his father. He stayed on the path of obedience to God. Now, young person, listen, there is nothing greater you can do if you are a young person. If you're a child at this age right here and you want to follow the Lord and you've made a decision to give your heart to God and surrender to His will and you want to develop that decision into a direction, there is nothing greater you can do right now than just determine to do right. Live clean, live pure, obey your dad, obey your mom, do your best. Nothing will help you more. Nothing will do more to help you be excited about God's will for your life than doing right. You know what takes? You know what starts decreasing the excitement about doing God's will? It's called sin. How do you put a fire out, folks? I've done it because I've had a couple over the. I've set the field on fire twice at my house in the 20 years I've lived out there. Twice. You think once, what is it, once, shame on them or something, twice, shame on me. Yeah, I set it on fire twice. And that second time, I really thought we was going to have to call the fire department. And I would have been so embarrassed, had the fire department roll out to my house to put the field out, to put the fire in the field out. But it was, I was trying to put it out with this big 2x4, big 4x8 sheet of plywood. And I would, whoof, when I would drop it on the fire, it just, whoof, it just fanned it more and sent it further out. And sparks, and the whole thing's on fire. And Joyce was gone. And so we're running around, and finally, I think Luke was there, run to get some shovels, and we started digging a trench, and then we started throwing dirt on that fire. Dirt will put a fire out. Dirt will put a fire out. I said, boy, my heart's burning. 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 13. My heart's burning right now. I heard those messages and Spirit of God worked in my heart. And I want to surrender. Dirt will put a fire out. That's how Josiah developed this direction into his life here after becoming king. He did that which was right. Nothing will do more to help you be excited about God's will for your life than just doing right. You know what doing right does? Doing right flames the fires of excitement. Doing right will cause the fire to burn in your... I'm talking about at your age. I'm talking about age 8. I'm talking about age 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. Nothing is better than obeying your parents and doing good in your home and in your school. Learn to tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Don't hedge on the truth. Don't develop the habit of lying. Don't do that. Learn to work and finish your work. Learn to obey even when you don't understand. That's all a part of doing right for your life, young person. And if you want to develop a decision into a direction like Josiah did here, you just do right and God will bless you. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the senior, when it used to be a preaching college, and he would come there and he'd cup his hand to his mouth like this and he'd holler at those students and he'd say, "Do right! Do right! Do right till the stars fall, but do right!" And boy, they turned out a lot of missionaries and a lot of preachers and evangelists went all over the world preaching the gospel back in those days. That's how you fan the flames of excitement to do the will of God. Do right. Do right. So if you're in that age group, we're talking about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. If you're in that age group right there and you've made a decision, and you want to develop that decision into a direction for your life, then the best thing you can do in these formative years is just do right. Do right. And when your mom and dad discipline you for doing wrong, helping you bring you back into the path of right, don't get mad at them. Get on your knees and thank God you got a dad who loves you enough to discipline you and teach you. All right? Now, the next group. Look at verse number 3. Look at the first phrase here. For in the 8th year of his reign. All right, so he started reigning at age 8. So now he's reigned for 8 years. 8 plus 8 is 16. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So he's 16 years of age. The Bible says he is young. And 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds, you are young. I know you are becoming young adults, but you've got a lot of life to live yet. You got a long ways to go, Lord willing. Amen? So he says, while he was young, now I want you to notice what he did, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He had been doing right now for these 8 years, and he had been using his great, whatever it is, grandfather David as an example. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he should have been doing. But now he's 16. And now he's starting to grow up. Now he's starting to mature a little bit. And he says, you know what? I want a little bit more than just following the pattern, the example of my great-great-great-great-grandfather David. I would really like to get to know my great-great-great-great-grandfather David's God. And that was the greatest decision that Josiah ever made. He began to seek after God. So Josiah began to seek God. Now I believe this is right. This right here. This is where a lot of young people forget about their decision and lose their direction. They forget about their decision and they lose their direction right here. There are some in this room and there are others who are not here who at one time stood in front of a congregation and I read their names to the crowd and said, this person is surrendering their life to do the Lord's will. This person is presenting themselves to do whatever God would have them to do. But today, today, right now, at 7:25 on February 20th, 2011, they are far, far, far away from even being concerned about that direction. You can't be concerned about the direction and not and lay out a church. Lost it. I mean, lost it. In fact, if you bring up to them the very reminder of a previous surrender, they're embarrassed. And they excuse it away with some kind of silly statement, you know, well, I just got caught up in the emotion of the moment. And I'm sure that some of that happens sometimes. I'm sure that young kids can get caught up in the emotion of the moment. But I am also sure that some of it is not the emotion of the moment. Some of it is the hand of God on the heart and working on the heart. It was a legitimate response, a legitimate surrender, but they've not turned the corner here at age 16 like Josiah did and say, you know what? It's not enough now for me just to obey my dad. I want to get to know the God who my dad has obeyed. And they get away from that decision. They get away from it. They never take the next step of seeking God. Hear me, folks. Listen very carefully tonight. I'm talking to everybody right now. You won't just naturally seek God. In fact, you will naturally not seek God. So there has to be a conscious decision. He began. There was a time in Josiah's life where it was more than just, okay, I'm going to obey my dad. Now I want to know why my dad has said what he has said all these years. I want to know the God he talks about. I want to know the book that my father reads. It is a decision that a young man or a young lady makes to start seeking after God. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, when you do not naturally seek God, when you do not seek God, you don't naturally seek Him. When you don't make that decision to seek God, that's what I'm trying to say. When you don't make that decision, here it is. You end up less spiritual at age 16, 17, and 18 than you were as a 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-old. And I see it all the time. Shouldn't it be the opposite, folks? Shouldn't at 17 and 18 there be a greater degree of spirituality than at 7 and 8? But 7 and 8-year-olds come forward and their hearts are on fire to do God, to serve the Lord. They make a decision and they obey their dad and they obey their mom and they'll get along in the school and they do right. But they never decide to seek after God themselves. And as a result of that, by the time they hit 17 and 18, they are in worse spiritual condition than they were at 7 and 8. So how do you know they don't sing? 7 and 8? 17 and 18? I don't care. You call me what you want to call me. Label it what you want to label it. Make all the excuses you want to for your kids. When they don't sing, something ain't right. You make all the excuses you want to make. But when there's not a song in the heart, brother, they don't like music. They don't have to like music to sing the praises of God. Let me tell you something, brother. He's worthy of our singing His praises whether you like music or not. That's the honest truth. So, you know, instead of the excuses, face the facts. My 17-year-old's not near as spiritual as he was when he was 10. Because they don't make that decision to start seeking after God. They're not interested in serving God. They won't listen in Sunday school. They won't listen in a church service. Their life is permeated with seeking fun. Not God. As long as the youth activities are fun, we show up. But if they're ever service-oriented, we got other things to do. Well, it's just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Stop that baloney. It's a heart problem. On the other hand, if you will start to seek God, you will grow in your excitement about doing His will. And I am not a know-it-all. I don't have all the right answers. But I've been here 20 years, and I'm 54 years old. And you know what, folks? I think God has given a little insight on children. I wish some of you folks would listen. Would listen to me. You could save yourselves a lot of heartache. A lot of heartache. If you'll start to seek God, if you're 16, 17, 18, 19, if you will begin to seek God like Josiah did, you will grow in your excitement about doing His will. It will help you develop your direction. And folks, this is not spooky. Seeking Him does not mean you lock yourself up in a compound somewhere and put on a collar and a dress like a monk. Seeking Him simply means that you get in the habit of having your devotions on a daily basis. And you read that Bible with a heart that says, God, speak to me. And then I want to speak to you for at least 5 or 10 minutes and talk to you from my heart this morning, or talk to you from my heart this evening. And let the Spirit of God begin to build you spiritually. It's not spooky, folks. The number one way to seek God is to get in this book. That's the number one way to seek God. Get in the Bible. Have your personal devotions. Try not to miss a day. Take a pen with you and write things down and keep it structured and read it slowly and carefully. The Bible is like a fire. That's what Jeremiah said. That's what God said. It will burn in your heart. It will burn. I believe with all of my heart that this is the most critical stage right here for a young person who has surrendered their life to do God's will and is not sure about the direction that's going to go. This is the most critical stage right here. This 16, 17, 18, 19, right there. Those are the most critical, critical years in a young person. I'll tell you why. It boils down to two words, and we are very familiar with it here in our country today. The two words are image and substance. I would say 95% of our politicians on the federal level, the state level, and the local level are all about image. Do you understand that's all a political campaign is? Let's get everything right. Let's get all the multicolored and multicultured people up here, you know. Let's put everybody in the right place here. And here the cameras are going to be over here. And let's have this music playing. And here's what you say at this time. And the news media is going to take this little sound bite and play it over and over again. It's all about perception. It's all about what we see. It's all about the image of the moment. And there is absolutely no substance. Folks, even Republican congressmen are disgracing themselves. It's all about image. Image. Our president is an image conscious president. But sad to say, I don't think there's a lot of substance there. Substance. And I think this is where the substance, this is the years where the substance, where the foundation of substance is formed in a young person's life. Anybody can have the image. I remember well a young man, and I knew I had the young man's number. It was all image. There was no substance. And I couldn't figure out why the young lady that was involved with him at the time back then was interested in it. But you know what? Birds of a feather flock together. And I soon learned, you know what? That's a lot of image and very little substance there. A lot of image. It's easy to look the part, folks. It's easy to look the part, but looking the part's not going to take you down the road. Substance is going to take you down the road. Substance is going to take you down the road. It's what's inside you. It's what you become as you walk with God, as you read this book, as you get in the Bible, as God builds you, as you start to learn the Scriptures, as you start to get the words of God in you, as you start to get the Spirit of God working in your heart. This is the most critical stage right here. Brother, when the Bible is opened in church, we get you a pen and take notes during the teaching, take notes during the preaching. You'll remember some things better if you write it down. At 16, Josiah began to seek after God. He began to desire to know God and God's Word for himself. This is a critical, critical, critical stage right here. 16, 17, 18, 19, right there, those critical years. To developing a direction, a decision into a direction. Because getting in that book right there will help build a substance in your life. Substance. Substance, not just image. All right? Let's look at the next group. Look at the end of verse number three. And in the 12th year, okay, he started reigning at age 8. Now he's been reigning 12 years. 8 plus 12 is 20. So when Josiah was 20, here's what happens. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. At age 20, when Josiah was 20, he began to do some exploits. He began to do some exploits. Now listen, this is what happens as you begin to reach young adulthood. You have surrendered to the Lord. Maybe it started back when you were an elementary school child. And you made doing right your number one priority. And God blessed you. And then at some point in that year of 16, 17, 18, 19, at some point during those crucial years there, you really began. And listen. In the pastor's family, the pastor's children, not all of them were reading the Bible every day on their own at age 12 and age 14. But I remember when it became very apparent to me when each of the children so far got to the place where they said, I'm going to read the Bible for myself. And I'd walk downstairs and find them sitting reading the Bible. And a boy comes home from college now, and sits in the living room, and I end up in the living room after a while, and he's in there reading his Bible. Somewhere during that time period, 16, 17, 18, 19, okay? If there's going to be substance and not just image. They got to make that decision, okay? So you started seeking the Lord, and now you get about age 20 or 21. You've surrendered to God. You've done right. You've sought after Him to know Him. He has worked in your heart, and you are old enough now at 20, 21, 22 in a position to really do something for Him. Now, wait a minute. As a teenager, you can be a helper. You can help in a bus, a nursing home. You can do a lot of good things around the church. You can serve and do a lot of things. But I mean at age 20, at age 21, you begin to take on responsibility and do something with it. Do something with it. It will be in your local church, or it will be in a Bible college where you can be given some responsibility in a certain area, and you can begin to develop a heart to serve. And that means, in some cases, leadership. But that won't happen. That won't happen if it's all image. Because service is work. And service is not glorious. So if it's all fluff, but buddy, if you have some substance in your life and you hit the ground right, you get about age 20. And by the way, I will say this. Anybody who had the call of God on their life and the impression of God on their life at age 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 and surrendered and walks away from that call will spend the rest of their life grabbing at straws. And it's not that they won't do anything accomplished with their life. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If God's will is for you to be on a mission field or in the ministry somewhere or some particular field of service and you're doing something else, it's going to be like Peter on that sea. You're going to fish all night and catch nothing. So this is serious business. Very serious business. You know, look, I didn't get saved until I was 18. I got a late start. But at 18, I did two things. I did right, and I started seeking God. And for me, that happened immediately. immediately. Right after I got saved, I mean seeking God in this book right here. In it, reading it, praying, reading that book, praying, finding times to read that Bible, sitting on the front, second, third row in those church services, my heart just, I began to seek after God. And at age 20, I was given my first responsibility and some type of service for God. In January, February of 1977, I was given that bus route. My senior bus captain quit the route. And I was a novice, and I was young, but there was something in my heart. Boy, I tell you, just something in my heart. Just something in my heart. Been no turning back since that day. You're given responsibility. You're given a place to serve in the local church, in a Bible college somewhere, to develop a servant's heart. I'm talking about developing a decision into a direction. I'm talking about where you just give yourself to God at age 8, age 11, age 14. All right, where are you in this pattern that Josiah is right here? I want you to look at verse number 8. Here's the last one, verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, so he was 8 years old when he started. He's been reigning for 18 years. 18 and 8 is 26, so he's 26 years of age. And we won't take the time to read down through there, but now he's delegating things. He's giving Hilkiah the high priest and so forth all this to do. And you can read it down through there what all happened. But here it is. At age 26, he was settled in his direction and in his life's work. At age 26. It's probably a good thing by age 26 to be settled into your life's work. Or at least the direction you're going to be going. It doesn't always happen at age 18. It doesn't always happen at age 20. But by age 26, yep, you're good to be settled. All I'm simply saying, folks, is this tonight. Now, boy, I tell you what, I have no idea what God does in a heart. I'm not God. I'm not God. When I see a kid come forward, I rejoice. And, you know, is it emotion? Is it God's impression on there? I don't know. It's not my business to determine that. But it is my business to stand up in this pulpit once in a while and say, look, if you have reached that point where you have given your heart to God, you've surrendered to Him, now here's what you can do to help this thing. Help follow it through. Follow it through. I don't want to see you at age 26 and 30 just, you know, floundering through life. God's not going to put everybody in the ministry. Not everybody. But in a church like this, God's not going to put some. Now, I see Jared Montgomery sitting back there, and Jared surrendered to the mission field. How many years ago, Jared, do you remember? 3 years ago. And you know what? Watch him up at the college when I preach on Thursdays. I watch him in church down here. You know, his heart's still on fire to get to the mission field. And I'll promise you, if you dissect his life, there's a young man who made a decision to follow God, to seek God, get in the Bible, follow the Lord, and he's been given responsibility. He's done very well with it at his age. How old are you now, Jared? 20? Got some responsibility. And I would just say, by the grace of God, by the time he's age 26, that young man is going to be set in his direction if he keeps going. If he keeps going. So, young person, no matter what age, if you made a decision recently or in the past about giving your heart to God, to follow, to serve God, and just present yourself to Him, this is how you develop a decision into a direction. No matter where you are, this pattern right here is good for you. You do right. You begin to seek after God. If you build some substance in your life, somebody's going to see it. And somebody's going to hand you some responsibility and say, run with this. By age 26, 30, you should be settled into the direction of your life. And there it is right there in the Bible for us. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Lord God, Heavenly Father, would you help our church? Would you help our young people? I pray, O Lord, that their life would count for you. You will not put all of them into the ministry, even some of those that surrender, you won't put into the ministry someday. But God, I pray that they will seek You, and I pray that they will develop a decision into a direction. God, there's nothing better than knowing we're in the center of Your will. So take tonight these words. Lord, I pray that You'll burn them in the hearts of the young people here tonight, even older young people. Any one of anybody that has presented themselves to You for Your service, I pray that they'll follow on to know Your perfect will and do it for Your honor and Your glory. That's what all that matters, Lord. Bless tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonder tonight, Pastor, I have presented myself to the Lord for His leading in my life. I have made that decision. I didn't make it on emotion. I made it based on God's direction in my life, His moving on my heart. And I want to say that the message gave me some light tonight. I heard some things that I needed to hear. I know where I am at my age in life, and I know what I need to do. Now, pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, in the air? Just put it up in the air and put it right back down. All right, appreciate that. That's wonderful. I even see men and adult men and ladies. Bless you. That's wonderful. Anybody else, don't forget to pray for me. Ask God's blessing on my life tonight. I want to be in on this. Anybody else? Father in heaven, please take the words that were said tonight and use them. I thank You, Lord, for Josiah, what he means to us. Is he a pattern in so many things for our children's lives? Help us to get in this thing and follow your will. End up exactly where You have us to be, to serve You. No matter, Lord, if that's in the ministry or somewhere else, we want to be in Your will, following You. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies, if you'll play us a song of invitation. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come.